This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to have difficult conversations about accessibility and accommodation needs. A practical guide to asking for what you need without fear or apology. In short, asking for accessibility and accommodation at work is one of the most personally exposed difficult conversations a person can have. You are not just asking for a desk adjustment. You are trusting someone with information about your body, your health, or your limits. Preparation removes the fear. Know exactly what you need and why before you walk in. You do not have to disclose your diagnosis. You only have to describe the impact and the solution. The goal of this conversation is a working agreement, not validation. Definition: difficult conversations about accessibility and accommodation needs are workplace discussions in which a person requests adjustments, support, or changes to their role or environment to perform their work effectively. They involve personal disclosure, power dynamics, and the need for clear, specific, confident communication. Sarah had worked at the same company for 4 years before she finally asked. She had been managing a progressive condition that affected her energy levels, and she had been compensating quietly, arriving early, staying late, and running on empty by Thursday. The difficult conversations she had rehearsed in her head for months were nothing like the one she finally had. She walked in underprepared, apologised 3 times in the first 2 minutes, and left with a vague promise her manager would look into it. 6 weeks passed. Nothing changed. What broke the stalemate was not courage alone. It was having a clear process. This guide gives you that process. It will not make the conversation easy, but it will make it workable. You will know what to prepare, how to open, what to say when things get uncomfortable, and how to close with a real commitment rather than a polite evasion. Why these conversations feel so exposed? Most difficult conversations carry some risk. This one carries more. When you ask for an accommodation, you are not just raising a work issue. You are offering personal information to someone who holds power over your career, your schedule, and your daily working conditions. That is not a small thing. The fear is not irrational. There is also a particular kind of shame that surrounds access needs in many workplaces, even well-meaning ones. People worry they will be seen as less capable, less committed, or harder to manage. Some have had that fear confirmed by a previous bad experience. Others are simply anticipating a reaction they have seen aimed at someone else. Here is the truth of it. The reason this conversation goes wrong is rarely the manager. It is usually the preparation, or the lack of it. People walk in hoping the other person will somehow understand without being told clearly. They use vague language. They hedge. They apologize for taking up space. And then they wonder why nothing changes. You deserve better than that outcome. So does the person you are talking to. What you must have clear before the conversation starts. Do not walk into this conversation without these 3 things settled in your own mind. First, know exactly what you are asking for. Not some flexibility or a bit more support. A specific request. Adjusted start time. Remote work on 2 days per week. A standing desk. A quieter workspace. The more concrete you ask, the easier it is for your manager to say yes. Second, know what you are willing to share and what you are not. You are not required to name your diagnosis in most accommodation requests. You can describe functional impact. I have a condition that affects my ability to concentrate in open plan spaces. That is enough. Decide in advance what your boundary is, so you do not give more than you intend under pressure. Third, know your minimum acceptable outcome. What is the least you would accept and still call this conversation a success? Knowing this prevents you from agreeing to a vague, "we'll try something" that dissolves in a week. If any of these 3 are unclear, take another day to prepare. The conversation can wait. Your dignity cannot. How to have difficult conversations about accessibility. A step-by-step process. Step 1. Choose the setting with intention. Ask for a private meeting rather than raising this in passing. Send a brief message. "I'd like to find 30 minutes to discuss something about my working arrangements. Would this week suit?" You do not need to explain more than that. The privacy signals to your manager that this matters, and it protects you from being caught off guard by an audience. For remote teams, a video call works well when the connection is reliable. Turn off the gallery view so you are not watching a grid of faces while you speak. If your accessibility need relates directly to remote work, this setting also gives you an immediate, practical example to refer to. Step 2. Open with your work goal, not your condition. The instinct is to lead with the problem, to explain your situation, and hope that sympathy carries the conversation. Resist this. Lead instead with your intention to do your job well, a script that works. I want to talk about something that affects how I work, because I want to keep doing this job at full capacity. I need a specific adjustment, and I think we can make it work together. This framing matters. You are not asking for charity. You are proposing a practical solution to a problem that affects your output. That is a different kind of conversation, and it lands differently. Step 3. Make the request specific and tie it to output. State your need plainly, then connect it directly to your work. I need to adjust my start time to 10 a.m. 3 days a week. This would allow me to manage a health condition more effectively, and I would make up the hours in the afternoon. My deliverables would stay exactly as they are. Notice what this does. It gives the manager something concrete to respond to. It removes ambiguity. It demonstrates that you have already thought about the implications for your role. You are making it easy to say yes. If you anticipate a concern, name it first. I know this is outside our usual arrangement, so I want to explain how it would work in practice. Step 4. Give the conversation room to breathe. Once you have made your request, stop talking. This is harder than it sounds. Many people, especially in a vulnerable moment, rush to fill silence with more explanation, more apology, more softening. Do not. Let your manager think. Let the request land. A pause does not mean rejection. It often means the person across from you is taking you seriously. If the response is hesitant, acknowledge it. I understand this needs some thought. What are your initial concerns? This keeps the conversation moving without putting pressure on anyone. It also shifts the next step onto them, which is where it belongs. Step 5. Respond to pushback without retreating. Pushback in these conversations usually takes one of three forms. I'm not sure this is possible. Others might want the same thing. Or let me check the policy. Each of these deserves a calm, direct response to I'm not sure this is possible. I'd like to understand what would need to be true for it to work. Can we explore that together? To others might want the same. I can only speak to my situation. I'm asking for what I need to do my job well. What I am describing is a reasonable adjustment, and I'm happy to discuss the specifics. To let me check the policy, of course. When can we follow up? Then make sure you do. What you must not do is withdraw your request because the first response was uncomfortable. Discomfort is not a no. Learning how to handle conflict during meetings can help you hold your ground when the conversation turns tense and you need to stay clear-headed. Step 6. Close with a concrete next step. Never leave this conversation without a specific commitment to what happens next. Not we'll figure something out. A date, an action, a name. Can we agree that you will come back to me by Thursday with an answer? If there are constraints I'm not aware of, I would like to know what they are so we can work around them. Write this down in front of them, if you can. A follow-up email summarizing what was discussed is not paranoia. It is good practice. It protects you both and creates a record that the conversation happened. Step 7. Document and follow through. After the conversation, send a brief email. Thanks for the time today. To summarize what we discussed, I requested X, and you agreed to come back to me by Y. Please let me know if I have misunderstood anything. This is not adversarial. It is professional. It ensures both parties share the same understanding of what was said. If the accommodation is agreed, document the terms clearly so there's no confusion 3 months down the line. If nothing happens after the agreed date, follow up once by email. If that produces nothing, escalate to HR. You made a reasonable request through the right channels. You are entitled to a response. When you are having this conversation remotely, remote settings create a specific challenge. The absence of physical presence makes it easier for the conversation to feel less real and easier for your manager to defer without consequence. To counter this, be more explicit about timing. I want to make sure we have an uninterrupted 30 minutes for this. Can we both agree to close other windows and not check messages? This creates the equivalent of a closed door. If your accommodation need is itself connected to remote work, such as needing to adjust your schedule around medical appointments or sensory needs at home, you have a natural opening. Part of what I want to discuss is how my setup here affects my work and what a small adjustment would do for my productivity. The core framework for staying grounded during a tense workplace conversation is particularly useful in remote settings, where it is harder to read the other person and easier to spiral into anxiety mid-conversation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emanblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where these conversations go wrong. Most people do not fail here because they lack courage. They fail because of specific, avoidable mistakes. Here is what I have seen most often, and what to do instead. The mistake. Over-explaining and apologizing before the request is even made. Why it happens. People feel they must earn the right to ask, so they front-load with justification. What to do instead. State your opening line, and then make the request. Earn trust through clarity, not volume. The mistake. Using vague language because precision feels too demanding. Why it happens. Specificity feels like confrontation. It is not. What to do instead. Write your request as one sentence before the conversation. Say exactly that sentence. The mistake. Agreeing to a trial arrangement without a review date. Why it happens. Relief that something has been agreed makes people accept vagueness. What to do instead. Name a date. Can we check in on how this is working in 4 weeks? The mistake. Disclosing more than is needed under the pressure of silence or sympathy. Why it happens. Vulnerability in the moment can loosen boundaries you set in advance. What to do instead. Prepare a short phrase in advance for when this happens. I appreciate the interest, but I think the detail I have given is enough for us to move forward. If you are navigating a broader conflict that has emerged around your accommodation request, the deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate offers a structured approach to re-establishing a working relationship. Your preparation checklist before the conversation. Use this before every accommodation conversation, regardless of how straightforward it seems. Number 1. I have written down exactly what I am asking for in one sentence. Number 2. I know which personal details I am willing to share and which I am not. Number 3. I have connected my request to my work output, not just my condition. Number 4. I have chosen a private time and place with enough room for a real conversation. Number 5. I know my minimum acceptable outcome. Number 6. I have prepared a response to at least 2 likely objections. Number 7. I have a follow-up email ready to send within 1 hour of the conversation ending. If you can tick every item on this list, you're ready. If you cannot, that is where to spend the next 30 minutes. For situations where the accommodation conversation reveals a wider pattern of exclusion or systemic barriers, knowing how to advocate for your team's needs with senior leadership gives you a framework for taking it further up the organization. When the conversation is just the beginning, some accommodation requests are resolved in a single meeting. Many are not. What follows can be a slow process of iteration, documentation, and follow-up that tests your patience and your trust. If a conversation stalls, revisit the structure. Was the request specific enough? Was a next step agreed? Was it followed up in writing? Often, when an accommodation goes nowhere, one of these 3 things was missing. When a colleague's situation connects to yours, and you find yourself drawn into a shared struggle over access and inclusion, how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's progress can help you raise those issues collectively without making it personal. And if the disagreement becomes entrenched, the deal method for resolving workplace conflicts and resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy both offer structured tools for finding a path through. This much I know for certain: the people who get what they need are not always the boldest. They are the most prepared. They walk in knowing what they want, they say it clearly, and they do not leave without a next step. Difficult conversations about accessibility are not won by force of personality. They are won by clarity of purpose, and by the willingness to come back to the table until the work is done. Frequently asked questions. What are difficult conversations about accessibility at work? Difficult conversations about accessibility involve asking your employer for adjustments that allow you to do your job fully and safely. They are hard because they require disclosing personal information, navigating power dynamics, and trusting that the response will be fair and respectful. How do I start a difficult conversation about accommodation needs? Start by preparing a clear, specific request before you enter the room. Name what you need, explain how it connects to your work, and choose a private setting with enough time. Opening with your work goal, not your diagnosis, helps the conversation stay practical and forward-moving. What should I say when asking for a workplace accommodation? Say what you need and why it matters to your work. For example, I need flexibility in my start time to manage a health condition, and I want to talk through how we make that work. Keep it specific, tie it to your output, and give your manager something concrete to respond to. What if my manager reacts badly to a difficult conversation about accessibility? Stay calm and do not withdraw your request. Acknowledge their concern, restate what you need, and ask what the next step is. If the reaction is hostile or dismissive, document the conversation and contact HR. A poor reaction does not invalidate a legitimate need. How do I prepare for difficult conversations about disability disclosure? Write down exactly what you need, what you do not need to share, and what outcome you want before the conversation. Practice saying your opening sentence aloud. Prepare for two or three likely responses. Knowing your minimum acceptable outcome before you begin prevents you from agreeing to less than you deserve. Can I have difficult conversations about accessibility needs without disclosing my diagnosis? Yes, you are not required to name your diagnosis in most workplace accommodation requests. You can describe the functional impact instead. I have a condition that affects my concentration in open plan spaces, and I need a quieter area to work. Focus on what you need, not the medical label behind it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.